Tonight we continue our series of sermons in the Gospel of Luke. We return to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, and we now see that after the birth and announcement of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is brought before the temple. He's brought unto the temple so that He may be circumcised and so that other Jewish practices commanded in the law of God in the Old Testament may be executed by him through his parents. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage here, in this very early stage of existence, is already fulfilling the law for us. And we turn therefore now our attention to Luke chapter 2. We begin in verse 21 and we consider verses 21 down to verse 38. Verses 21 to verse 38 of Luke chapter 2. Give heed now to the reading of God's holy word. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Our great God in heaven, we come before you tonight rejoicing with the Savior that you have given us, our blessed King, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider himself through these words, Father, we pray that you would remove the blindfold of our eyes so that we may see the beauty, the glory, the treasures that are here hidden in your law. Oh, Lord, may your word make us love Christ more tonight. May your law, Lord, entice us into a life of service and obedience. May your word tonight bring much comfort unto us as we are reminded once again of who Christ is and what he did for us. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Now that the end of the year is coming, several of the conversations that surround us and that may be taking place between us and different friends is what has happened in the past year and what are our expectations for the next year. Several of our conversations will be either populated by our own thoughts or someone else's thoughts of how this past year was not exactly what we expected it. Several of our aspirations or our desires did not come to fruition. And therefore now we are looking for a new season, for a new year that is dawning, those expectations that were left behind and never became concrete in our lives. And as these conversations develop among us, it really demonstrates a degree of how important satisfaction is for us, isn't it? To be satisfied. To be really fulfilled. Christian, what does satisfy you? Are you here today satisfied? Are you satisfied with the things that happened through this year? Do you feel your heart and your soul satisfied and gladly filled with all the blessings and with all the history that you're living behind as 2019 is passing by? Are you sitting here tonight full of aspiration to be satisfied in all kinds of things, in all different areas in your life this coming year? You see, as we turn our attention to this passage, the issue of satisfaction is clearly laid out unto us. And as we consider these verses, we are going to be reminded that there is only one source, there is only one place where full satisfaction can be found. Regardless of what your inner desires may be, regardless of what your dreams may be, regardless of the things that did not become concrete and real, regardless of the things that you desire to become concrete and real, there is only one place that you can find true and full satisfaction, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sit here tonight hoping to be satisfied through anyone else, through any other thing, by any other means, you are going to be disappointed. Because there is only one place where satisfaction can be met. There is only one place where your heart and soul can really be excited and find satisfaction completely. And it is in the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we unpack these verses tonight, we see that there are four areas here in which the Lord Jesus Christ satisfies our souls. There are four areas in which He will indeed be the only source of pure and full satisfaction. And as we unpack and learn these four areas, what we learn at the core, the main teaching that we should focus tonight, is that Jesus Christ is the only source of satisfaction to the most inner desires of our souls. Christian, may you be reminded tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only source of satisfaction to the most inner desires of your soul. As we turn our attention to verses 21 down to 24, what we see is that the Lord Jesus Christ here is satisfying the law. He is the only source for our need of perfect satisfaction of the law. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us perfect obedience and can satisfy our need for perfect obedience. We see that already in verse 21, as 8 days old, the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to the temple to keep the law. Since the time of Abraham, circumcision has become the mark, the sign of the nation of Israel, and has become mandatory for all the males in the holy congregation of the blessed people of God. And that's what we read, isn't it, in verse 21. The Lord Jesus Christ, even an infant, is being carried by their parents to have that procedure being performed. We read, and when 8 days were completed, for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. 40 days later, he's brought again back in the temple, and now for purification. Now the parents are fulfilling Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. that every one of the males, or the firstborn of the males, should be offered as a sacrifice before the Lord. Should be brought as a separation, something that is separated for the Lord. And before we really consider the full obedience that Christ is offering already for us here in this early stage of His life, let us consider the role of the parents in these two verses. Do you see, Christian, how important it is for godly parents to carry their sons and daughters into proper adoration of God? That's exactly what Mary and Joseph is doing here, both of them. They are poor, indeed. That's very true. Look at verse 24. Instead of offering the regular rich offering of a lamb, they are offering a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That was the substitute offering for those who couldn't afford a lamb. So as we read in verse 24, we have here an implicit description that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly in a very poor condition, part of His humiliation. But turning back our attention to the role of the parents, do you recognize, Christian, here today through these verses, how important is your role in educating your children regardless of your means? You, Father, you, mother, who hear this word tonight, be encouraged by the example of Mary and Joseph. Regardless of their age, regardless of the circumstances that surround them, they are persevering in leading His kid, leading the Lord Jesus Christ into the full conformity and obedience to the law of God. Is that what you have been doing? Is that what you have been nurturing in your home? Regardless of the circumstances of your life, regardless of how busy your schedule is, regardless of how tired you may be, are you fostering in your home the same thing that Mary and Joseph are fostering here of the Lord Jesus Christ? You are cultivating a godly child, presenting him before the Lord. You see, Christian, this is your obligation before the Lord. Young couples, for those of you who are married here and do not have any kids yet, be alert. The Lord God is setting the standard for your families right now. And remember, it doesn't matter your background. Perhaps you may say, well, but I didn't grow up with that, and look at me, I'm here still at church. It doesn't matter. The errors of your parents does not justify your own errors. You are being called tonight to follow the godly example of the two men and of this two parents here of Joseph and Mary, who are bringing the Lord Jesus Christ and nurturing Him from a very early stage in the nurture and admonition of the law of God. May this be your purpose. Young husbands, may these be something that you are training right now with your wife. If you sit here tonight and you are not laboring, you are not leading your own wife in a diligent pursuit of intimacy with the Lord in reading of the Bible and prayer, how do you expect to do the same with your children? Let us be warned tonight. Let us be encouraged tonight. As parents, we are responsible to cultivate the godliness of our kids. And let me add to that, there's no age limit here. Do you see any age limit here? Do you see any age limit in the Word of God? Because it's very common in our society now, because there is a state age level, isn't it? And we may quickly use this as an excuse. Oh, so and so, my daughter is of age. My son is of age. They're responsible for themselves. Well, yes and no. Yes, they are responsible for themselves, but your duty as a parent never stops. The fifth commandment never ceases to be of application unto you. The bond of marriage does not dissolve the bond of being a son or a daughter. Yes, men and women ought to leave and cleave, but you continue to be a parent. You continue to be a father. You continue to be a mother. And where godliness may be exercised, where holiness and sanctity may be enticed and encouraged, it is your duty to perform that. We are reminded tonight that we are just to follow this example. to bring our children into nurture and admonition of the Lord, regardless of our resources. Regardless of how well-versed in the Bible we are, regardless in how well we can say a prayer, regardless of our background knowledge of the Bible, actually, we should be preparing ourselves so that we may feed those spiritually who are in our homes. But turning our attention back to the Lord Jesus Christ, we again notice that the Lord Jesus Christ is keeping the law fully, isn't he? Already in this very early and young stage of his incarnation, the Lord Jesus Christ is performing circumcision, obeying Genesis 17. He's performing purification, obeying Leviticus 12. And he's also performing the presentation before the temple, as we're going to see later on in verses 25 down to verse 32, as a fulfillment of Exodus 13. Now here is the irony of all these things, that the Lord Jesus doesn't need to fulfill the law. He doesn't need to do these things. Think about it. What does circumcision mean? What does that drop of blood, or perhaps a lot of blood, may characterize or would point any Israelite performing circumcision to? What the purification of the mother would be for? What about the presentation? The introduction? You see, these are all Jewish practices of the Old Testament that points out to the sin that is involved in he who was born. Circumcision is a procedure of purification and separation. The purification is the purification of the mother because of the birth of a sinful child. And the presentation is the need of one to be brought before God for salvation. All these three things are not necessary, were never necessary by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you need it, Christian. You need all these things. The Lord Jesus is fulfilling all this law because of you. He's fulfilling all these things so that your need may be satisfied. He's performing purification when he doesn't need it because you need it. He's performing separation when he doesn't need it because you need it. And as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ already fulfilling this perfect obedience that's so necessary for us, when he is the one being introduced and revealed to us here tonight, that can only satisfy our need for perfect obedience, may that raise our appreciation, love, awe, and honor towards our great Savior. May that entice our interest in him. May that make us indeed lovers of Christ. May that attract us even more unto him. Such a demonstration of the Lord Jesus. It was not enough for him to be humiliated, embracing your frail human nature. It was not even enough for him to be humiliated, performing a procedure of purification when he is the Holy One. It was not even enough for him to be introduced when he is already known by the Father. But he experienced all this humiliation so that you, Christian, may be saved. Oh, what a blessed thought. Do you see now why satisfaction can only be found in Christ? Do you understand this tonight? That to be satisfied is only to be in Christ. Well, but he satisfies us even more. Because he not only satisfies our need for perfect obedience, but in addition, he satisfies our need for saving consolation. And that's what we see now in verses 25 down to 32. In verses 25 to 32, we notice that the Lord Jesus is brought for this presentation in the temple. And a character here is introduced by us, to us by Luke. The character is Simeon. Simeon is described and his identity is given, and it is a blessed identity. Wouldn't you desire to be identified as that? First of all, Simeon in verse 25 is identified as someone who is just. The word just here comes from the Greek and means someone who has a right relationship with another. Someone who lives in connection and in a right relationship with someone else. And of course, this is in reference to the Lord. Simeon is just. He has a right relationship with God. But he also is devout. That means reverent. That means someone who cultivates piety. That means someone who cares about his personal holiness, who is very attentive to how he walks, who is very attentive to how he lives. Wouldn't you like that to be your description? What a beautiful description. Just, devout, but in addition, full of the Spirit. Look again at verse 25. At the end of the verse we read, this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It's interesting because a lot of people believe that the Holy Spirit only comes at the day of Pentecost. That's not true. The Holy Spirit is active throughout the history of salvation. People is only saved by the action of the Holy Spirit. There is not one person who has been converted who was not converted by the action of the Holy Spirit. Abraham was converted by the Holy Spirit. Moses was converted by the Holy Spirit. That's the function of the Spirit, to convert us, to transform us, to make us repent of our sins. And here again, the Spirit is described as being actively at work in this man. A man who is just, devout, and full of the Spirit, and he is now led by the Spirit. Christian, let us think about this beautiful description of who Simeon is. Would anyone describe you like that? Would that be your description? If I would ask the people you work with, or if I would set aside your spouse tonight and ask him or her, describe your spouse to me, or describe your co-worker to me. Do you think any one of these characteristics would be mentioned? It seems to me, dear brothers and sisters, that we are not very much concerned with the development of a godly spirit, with a close walk with the Lord, and with intimacy with His Spirit, so that just and devout would be two characteristics of our walk with God. Let us be encouraged tonight to pursue these things. This is a demonstration of a man who walks with the Lord. And as we're going to see at the end of this pericope, this is not only reserved for men. We have Anna, who is also full of the Spirit. As men and women of God, let us be reminded this evening that we have been saved so that we would all be like Simeon. Just, devout, and full of the Spirit. This is not a special blessing reserved for special people. But this is why God saves sinners. This is the reason why we have been set aside and separated, so that we would walk in holiness and in the pursuit of piety. But as we read verses 28 to 32, it is exactly this man who is full of the Spirit, pious and devout, who at the sight of Jesus finds the saving consolation that is so much in need of. He is so satisfied. Look at verse 29. He's so satisfied that he can say, "I am ready to die." In verse 29, we read, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Simeon said, "I have all that I need." I don't know exactly what were the goals and desires of Simeon's life. It's not revealed unto us. What was his most inner aspirations? But one thing, it's very clear from this text. Regardless what it was, nothing surpasses his desire to see Christ. Nothing. The sight of Christ made him ready to die. "I'm ready to go." That is in reference to a promise. If you look back in verse 27, in verse 26, there was a promise made unto him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. But now that that moment has come, it is as if Simeon has a warning. Hey, the time for the completion of your days, the time for you to die is approaching, and he's ready. He's satisfied because Christ gives him the saving consolation that he's in need of. And isn't that exactly what he says? why he can depart. Look at verse 30 to 32. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for the in the face before the face of all peoples. He has seen the Christ. And now he's ready to die. He's satisfied. Satisfaction has been met. Are you ready to die, Christian? Are you ready to die? Are you satisfied in Christ? Has He already satisfied your soul? As you come before Him every Lord's Day, as you go unto Him in His presence, in your prayer, and in your daily reading of the Word, as you break bread and drink His cup, do you feel satisfied in the Lord? Is Christ your all? To the point of you saying, I'm ready to go. Regardless of your age. It doesn't matter if your dreams have not come true. There's still college that I want to finish. There's still marriage that I want to experience. I don't have any kids. It doesn't matter. For Simeon, it doesn't matter. He's satisfied with the sight of Christ. Oh, Christian, may that be your reality as well this evening. May you be fully satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you be satisfied in the salvation and the consolation that is only found in Him. If you're seeking for satisfaction in any other place, you are going to be disappointed. You are going to be deceived. You are going to be easily manipulated, because only Christ satisfies our need for perfect obedience, and only Christ satisfies our need for saving consolation. In his verse of satisfaction, Simeon gives us a glimpse of what's the work of this Christ. Look at verse 32. The Christ is going to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and He's the glory of Israel. Well, the Christ is a revelation to the Gentiles because the Gentiles lived in an eternal state of idolatry. The Gentiles were involved with superstitions and paganism. The Gentiles were those who have not received the revelation of God that had been reserved for Israel. And now this Christ has this missionary work to perform. He's going to be a revelation unto those who are not of the people of Israel. But unto Israel, His Israel's glory. A rejected glory indeed, as we know through the rest of the narrative, but Israel's glory nonetheless. And the reason is very simple. It was exactly to Israel that revelation had been given. You see, while revelation had not been given to the Gentiles, it was given to Israel. So it is the glory of Israel because salvation comes from the Jews. Isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul says in his letters? It is the glory of Israel because Israel was right all the time. The fulfillment of promises that were given to Israel finally came true in the blessed Son of God, who took upon Himself our frail humanity. Simeon is satisfied because Christ is the saving consolation of both Jews and Gentiles, bringing revelation and being the fulfillment of promises of old. This is enough for him. Christian, is this enough for you? Is the saving consolation of Christ enough for your heart? Enough to bring you joy? Enough to wipe out your tears? Enough to put dissatisfaction aside? Enough to put sadness aside and to be completely fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ? It was enough for Simeon, and I pray it is enough for you. Because it's all that can satisfy your soul. But as we move on in the passage, the Lord Jesus Christ not only satisfies our need for perfect obedience, He satisfies our need for saving consolation, but He also satisfies our need for true religion. True religion. And that's what we see now in 33 through 35. You see, false religion, as we saw in the reading of the text of Paul to the Philippians, was a plague in Israel. They were plagued by false religion. They were plagued by the Judaizers. As we read different apostolic writings, there were those who were plagued by the Gnostics. Even in the early stages of the church, heresy and error assailed the church, was attacking the church, and the only solution for error, the only way that we can understand true religion is through Christ. That's part of His mission, and that He is the only one that can satisfy our need for true religion. You see, as we read in verse 33, we notice that Joseph and Mary are surprised. They are very much surprised with the words that they have just heard. We read, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, but Simeon continued his revelation regarding the work of Christ." And the next thing that he is going to reveal is that Christ will be a rock of offense. In verse 34, we read, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel." This child, the Messiah, will do two things. They will make a lot of people fall, and he will rise a lot of people. And here the idea of the words really point out to the illustration of a rock, of a stone. And the Word of God frequently uses the Lord Jesus Christ, or frequently describes the Lord Jesus Christ as both as the cornerstone or a stumbling block. They are a stumbling block for the fall of those who reject Him. They are a stumbling block and fall and rock of offense for those who believe and embrace those errors, the tradition, the glory of self, the trust in their own works. Those who do not humble themselves and maintain a rebellious and self-sufficient spirit, to these the Lord Jesus Christ becomes an instrument of fall. This is the ministry of judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. A ministry of judgment, even to His people. And as we are very much aware of Jesus' encounters with the Pharisees, that's exactly what happened, isn't it? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of Israel were a group of men who were extremely confident in themselves, in their own obedience. They depended on God for nothing. Their grace, they were the ones who would conquer. And the Lord Jesus Christ revealed how hypocritical they were. The Lord Jesus Christ made them fall. The words, the teachings of the Lord Jesus minister judgment unto them. But the text also says the child will be for the rising of many. Not all in Israel are stubborn, nor all of Israel is rebellious. There are those who indeed see themselves as needy sinners in need of satisfaction coming from the Messiah. And these are the ones who will be raised by Christ. These are the ones who will come to the rock, and instead of stumbling at it, the rock becomes a cornerstone in which their souls are built up. These are the ones who understand that they need to humble themselves, that they need to reach out to the Lord for salvation. They are the ones who look at the Christ and acknowledge Jesus for who He is and for what He does. And for them, instead of a ministry of judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ has reserved a ministry of reconciliation. For those who are full of themselves and very highly in their views, there is a ministry of judgment that will make them fall. But for those who are humble and needy, for those who put themselves and place themselves at the feet of Christ, for them, there is a ministry of reconciliation that will rise them unto the Lord. And the Lord Jesus will search souls. That's what He says at the end of the passage. At the very end of verse 35, He says, "He will reveal the thoughts of many hearts, and that will be a sign to be spoken against." Even Mary will feel the sting of this, of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, here we have this incipient, this seminal reference to the suffering that Mary will experience when she sees Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the cross. At that very moment when the Lord Jesus Christ appoints John to take care of her, that's a moment of suffering. That is the moment, as we already know the story, that Simeon is prophesying through the Spirit. "You, Mary, you as well will feel the pierce of a sword through your own soul." because of the ministry of the Messiah. He does not come to raise up Israel to a military supremacy position. He does not come to implement a physical and political government. He comes to make a lot of those who are full of themselves and prideish to fall. He comes to make the humble and needy to rise, and He will reveal the thoughts of man. He will reveal the character of those who come near Him. He will expose themselves. Because of Christ's words and ministry, He is the only source of true religion. There's nowhere else where we can go for this reconnection with the Father. There is no one else that can really instruct us and reveal to us the way to the Father. There is no one else who will reveal the hidden places of our souls, the most hidden desires of our hearts, and will point us to our hypocrisy, and will call us unto repentance, and will indeed restore us back to the Father. There is no one else that will give us true religion but the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Christian, do you understand this tonight? Are you going to Christ for your religion, so that your need for true religion to be satisfied, so that your need to be reconnected with the Father be truly met? That need, that desire will always going to be there, regardless of how you try to satisfy your heart. Your need to be in communion and to be in peace with God is always going to be there, and it can only be met through the true religion that Christ alone can teach us. He's the only source of satisfaction for our need of a true religion. And yet, sometimes we just do like the Pharisees, right? We come out with our own principles. We come out with our own agendas. We stick to certain traditions that have no biblical basis. Instead of searching and looking and being fed by the true religion that only Christ can give, we stick to those humane, mundane actions of religion as if they could truly bring us back to the Father and not Christ. But we are called tonight to revisit our own lives. We are called tonight to revisit what we have been teaching to our kids, where true religion can be learned, where true religion can be practiced. Where can we find that rock that will be not a stumbling unto us, but will raise us back up to the Father? The Scripture encourages us to be satisfied in all our religious needs only in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, Christian, you need to be in the Word. That's why you need to be there in the Word. You see, tonight we were warned by the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians, beware of heresy. Beware of those who teach error. And so many times we get into error because we are not being fed by Christ and by the religion that He teaches in His Word. Let us be challenged tonight to be in the Word. That's how you'll be satisfied. That's how you'll be satisfied. That's how your heart will be full. That's how your soul will be filled. It's only when you are being fed by the perfect obedience of Christ, by the saving consolation of Christ, and by the true religion of Christ. But lastly, as we reach the very last portion of this passage, we learn that there is a fourth area in which Christ can indeed fulfill the inner desires of our souls. He fulfills our desire and our need for perfect obedience. He fulfills and satisfies our desire for a saving consolation only in Him. He also satisfies us in our need for true religion. But lastly, He satisfies us in giving a purpose for our life. Perhaps that's what you're looking tonight. A purpose to live. And that is Christ. We see that in the life of Anna. Look at verse 36. As we come to the end of this pericope, we notice that Anna is now introduced, and she is a widower. She is a widow. She is introduced as someone who is indeed a true Jew. She is the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was very, very old. The text says that she had a marriage for 7 years. And that now for several years, for 84 years, she was serving at the temple. Now think a little bit about this. A common young lady in the nation of Israel would be married somewhere between 12 years old and 16 years old. Okay, please do the math with me. So let us imagine, just for the sake of argument, that that Anna was married when she was 14 years old. And for 7 years, she was married. So that takes us to 21. When she was 20 years old, she lost her husband. No kids. Do you understand what that means for a Jew in a Jewish society? A widow with no kids? That means death. That means that you have no purpose in life. That means that there's nothing more for you. Without a husband, you can't really have a child. If you marry again, then that child will belong to your deceased husband, and it would be very hard to find a man desiring to raise up the generation of another man. And without a son or a daughter, you have no one to take care of you. You are doomed. Anna, at 21 years old, had no purpose in life, according to human standards, but not according to the Lord. Not according to God. Because for 84 years, now help me to do the math. If this 84 years were the time from she became a widow to that specific day when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, this means that Anna was over 100 years old. For 84 years, the text says, she was serving at the temple. That's a life with purpose. Do you understand that, Christian? It's a life with purpose. Where it seemed that there was nothing. Where it seemed that everything was over. Where it seemed that she was doomed. She dedicates her life. No husband, no son, no daughter, but the Lord. She has everything. She has everything. And for for 84 years, says the text in verse 37, she was serving at the temple. She has a life purpose as she is awaiting for the Lord. And as she is awaiting for the Lord to come, and you can clearly see that at the end of verse 38, she is part of the group who was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The same description that is given of Simeon, you see? Simeon was the one who was expecting for the consolation of Israel. That's a synonym expression for the end of verse 38. She was also, just like Simeon, looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And she gets busy awaiting for that day. She gets busy serving the Lord in prayers and through fasting. That's her life purpose. Christ alone can satisfy our need for a purpose in life. And as she does that, as she awaits, she's constantly seeking communion with God. Look at verse 37 once again. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. He was there at the temple seeking communion with God all the time. And when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the life purpose has been met. Verse 38, we finish the text and the text says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ gave two great purposes for that widow who had not a man, who had not a husband, and no children. The Lord Jesus gave her the purpose of serving the Lord with all her heart and to live in constant expectation for the coming of Christ. This was enough for her to be satisfied. Christian, where are you seeking satisfaction? Do you sit here tonight searching for satisfaction in your work? Do you sit here tonight depending for satisfaction on the affection that comes from your husband or from your wife? Do you sit here tonight trying to find satisfaction in a specific form of occupation or perhaps in the studies that is ahead of you? Are you trying to find satisfaction through the same ways that the world out there seeks satisfaction far away from the Lord? If this is who you are tonight, you are doomed to be disappointed. If this is who you are tonight, perhaps you're not even in the Lord. For Christ is the only source of satisfaction for the innermost desires of our souls. The only one who can give us truly life purpose is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is your life purpose, Christian. To live in service to Him in expectation for Him to come. May we all be Anna's here tonight. May we find our satisfaction in serving Christ and in living in the business of the temple. Getting together and getting busy, involved in the life of the body. Being in service unto God, pursuing to be near unto Him, seeking to be used of Him, developing our piety through prayer and fasting as we await for the coming of our Savior and Redeemer. Oh, Christian, be reminded tonight there's a lot of space for us to be just like Anna. And that will satisfy your soul. That will bring satisfaction unto you. For He is enough. His coming is enough. His religion is enough. His perfect obedience is enough. His saving consolation is enough. He is the purpose of our lives, of us who have been saved by Himself. Perhaps you sit here tonight precisely trying to understand, where am I going to find satisfaction? Kids are gone. Husband is gone. Old age has arrived. Dreams have not been fulfilled. My spouse doesn't care about me anymore. Regardless of what is your need tonight, the Word of God reminds you that satisfaction can only be found in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only source of satisfaction to your innermost desires of your soul. When those innermost desires of your soul are met, regardless of what happens else in your life, satisfaction has been met. Praised be our great Savior for being all that we need. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank You for bringing true satisfaction unto us through Christ. And Lord, as we meditate upon these words tonight and we see how broad in scope, how deep in power, how strong in efficacy is the satisfaction that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us not to seek satisfaction anywhere else but in the Savior of our souls. Thank You for satisfying our need of perfect obedience in Him. Thank You for satisfying our need for saving consolation in Him. Oh, blessed be You, O Lord, for satisfying our need for true religion through His words and teachings. And thank You for giving us a life purpose in Him. O Lord, help us now to live in full satisfaction in our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver us from complaining lips. Deliver us, O Lord, from a loss of perspective. But bring us back to the centeredness of Christ in our lives as we seek full satisfaction in Him. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.